Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The lesson for our meditation this morning is from the text just read from Mark 10 with our sermon today entitled, Two Kinds of Glory. Dear friends and beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, authority, power, fame, and fortune are often viewed in different ways. Some see them as blessings that should be used with caution and with great responsibility. Others see them as a means to luxury and self-indulgence. Many who are in positions of influence take their calling very seriously and use their position to do as much good as they can for the people or the organization which they serve. But others yield to the temptations that such positions can bring. It has been said that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Two very different responses and perspectives. But why? And what drives these two different points of view? Well, this is exactly what Jesus tackles today in our text from Mark 10. And so in God's word this morning, God's message for you is that though the world and the sinful nature seeks glory for self-serving purposes, the glory of the kingdom of heaven comes only through the selfless, servant-minded suffering of Christ crucified. Our text today shows us two kinds of glory. Now, as you heard, the text today in the account of Mark is of James and John's request of Jesus. And in their request, you see the world's view of glory, which is one of self-service. Now, the passage began with them trying to trap Jesus into getting him to commit to saying yes before they even made the request, showing they were somewhat uncomfortable with just walking up and straight out asking him for this because they feared he wouldn't like what they were going to ask, which means they shouldn't have been asking this of the Lord in the first place. But Jesus refused to be sucked into their trap and told them to just make the request. And their response was a request that was seeking glory of the self-serving kind as they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus answered them by telling them that they had no idea what they were asking. He says to them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" And in their ignorance, they said, "Sure, we're able." Jesus then tells them that they have the wrong perspective. Jesus predicts for them a life of suffering for the sake of the gospel, which is far, far removed from the luxury and ease that they are seeking from him. And then we see that the other 10 really are no better. They got mad at James and John for asking, but only because they didn't think of it first, and James and John beat them to the punch. All of them saw the glory of Christ and wanted that prestige and that status that they thought would come along with it. There are indeed two kinds of glory, and the apostles were focused on the world's view. Jesus and the apostles just weren't on the same page, which is rather surprising since right before our text, the last words Jesus said was his third prediction of his death, telling them that he is going to Jerusalem in order to suffer and to be killed. Jesus told them that the way to the throne of heaven is through his sacrificial suffering, pain, and death. But the apostles just didn't get it. James and John, in Jesus' tight inner circle, didn't get it. They still clinged to the world's view, even trying to apply it to God's kingdom. But Jesus saw it differently. Jesus didn't see glory as basking in the limelight or asking, "What's in it for me?" Jesus tells them of heavenly glory in verses 42 through 44. Hear his words again. "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. For whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." A completely different radical perspective. He tells them they're acting just like the Gentiles, whose rulers want to use their authority for self-serving means. They want to be the boss as they oppress the subjects that are underneath them. But Jesus says, "You will be different. They shall not seek to serve themselves, but they will see God's glory as they serve others. Their hearts shall be on caring for and loving the people entrusted to their care as they serve them tirelessly. They shall deny themselves and take up their crosses." There are indeed two kinds of glory, and Jesus shows them heavenly glory. But what does this say about you? You right now are preparing to serve in God's kingdom in very special ways. What perspective do you have on glory? Certainly, you are not immune to the temptations faced by the apostles. There are those times when you deliver that absolutely fantastic sermon, and you teach that Bible study, and you just knock it right out of the park. Or you make that really profound point in a class, and your classmates heap praise upon you. There are those times when you slaved tirelessly over that paper, turning it in, getting it back with a high mark, with some comments written down by the professor that were very, very positive and uplifting. When you will be in your parish, your people will love you, and they will tell you what a blessing you are to them, and they will thank you for being there for them. Now, in and of themselves, these times of encouragement are very good things, unless we take the glory that is due the Lord that comes in them and keep it for ourselves. See, getting puffed up is all, it can happen all too easily. Preaching to hear the accolades from the hearers instead of preaching to serve the hearers with God's word is a temptation that every one of us will face. And fighting that fight on your own will prove to be fruitless. But thanks be to God, our text gives us joyous good news in verse 45 as Jesus says to them, and Jesus says to you, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So even Jesus, the Jesus who in the Great Commission says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus who has the ultimate authority, used it not to serve himself, but to serve you. Your Lord and your Savior is also your servant. He serves you by laying down his very life for each and every single one of your sins. Fighting Satan's temptations of self-service is not your fight to fight. Jesus fought that fight on the cross and he won. Sure, apart from him, you are a slave to your sin, but you have been baptized into Christ, baptized into him, baptized into his death, into his resurrection, into his life, baptized into his glory. He will be sending you somewhere in his vineyard. He will give you some of his flock to feed. And you will serve them in his mighty name and in his perfect power. You will serve them by preaching. You will serve them by baptizing, administering the Lord's Supper, absolving their sins, visiting them in times of trial or times of joy. You will serve them by pointing them to Jesus. It will not be your ministry, it will be his, and you will joyously serve in his perfect strength and guidance. But make no mistake about it, though the ministry is one of service, you will see glory. Not worldly glory that brings about untold riches and fame and personal power, no, but as the word is preached and as the sacraments are administered, they will give life to the dead in Christ. And then you will see the incomparable glory of the kingdom of God firsthand. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until his second coming. Amen.